Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight's special guest, Sarah Silverman, is here. Sarah is the hot-looking chick from Greg the Bunny, which airs on Wednesday nights at 9:30 on Fox. And Sarah is, Drew, you know how there's not that many funny dudes around?
Right.
There's really not that many funny chicks around.
And for
almost
you,
none.
For you to consider anybody funny, that narrows.
Well, what about me?
That's my point.
Oh, other than
you,
me.
Yes.
Yes. It's quite high praise. And Sarah Silverman is an extremely funny person. And you don't find that too much with the vulva attack.
Very funny. Ha!
Yeah. So Sarah is Sarah's one of these, I think, if you watch Greg the Bunny, you know her. And she's one of these people that you would recognize probably if you saw her. But she's had a career that's been rather eclectic, doing movies and many, many other projects, and is sort of well-respected, but maybe slid under the radar a little bit. Would you say that's accurate, Sarah?
Yeah.
I told you she was funny, man. Did you hear that? A lot of people would have went, yeah, but not Sarah. She goes, yeah.
Very funny.
Yeah, up at the end.
Yeah, you hit the last syllable of, yeah. All right, so Sarah I saw actually when we did the Hugh Hefner roast in New York, and was extremely funny, and does stand up as well.
Come on, I'm right here.
Yeah, I know.
Is anything coming up?
Yeah. Oh,
see that? Yeah. No, that yeah wasn't as strong as the first yeah.
Because I didn't realize
true.
I can say
she
that
was off,
I would be on the radio.
She's off balance. Throw in a question again and let her do the yeah.
All right, and?
Go. Drew. Cue, Drew.
Where's the card?
And Q.
Where's the card?
And Q, Drew. Oh, shut up.
Anything coming up for you?
Yeah. Actually, Dr. Drew, I'm going to be at the improv on Saturday. Really?
I hope that's in the act.
Oh, and the Martini Lounge tomorrow, and the Improv tomorrow too. I forgot Wednesday. All right.
Yeah, that's good. And doing stand-up. Oh, true. Could you imagine doing stand-up for a living?
Mm-hmm.
Not that Sarah has to do that. She's got Greg the Bunny, which is doing pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Doing it in the ratings?
What, in the ratings? It's doing well. People like
it.
Do the yeah. You're mocking me.
No, I'm not. All right, so Greg the Bunny doing well. Stand up, and we'll give some of the dates.
How about Crank Yankers?
Crank Yankers, she's on our new show, which is coming out on Comedy Central on June 2nd. Does a couple of voices on that show. She's very prominent on it, and that's going to be funny, too. Right, Sarah?
Yes, very funny.
No, yeah.
I saw.
Right. Have you seen some of them?
I saw some of them in New York. Daniel Kellison showed me,
mm-hmm.
And they're hilarious. They're so funny. I mean, when they described it to me, I really had no idea.
No,
what
but
it looked like.
But
no,
it works. It works. This could be a big show, Drew.
Yeah,
really,
definitely.
Drew's hoping against hope that it's not,
no,
but
fine.
Yeah, no. Because I'm this far from dropping you.
Oh, really?
Already.
You already did drop me. What are you talking about?
I know, but I'm keeping you hung on to me by just a thin string of mucus. You know when kids drop that mucus out of their mouth and they hang it out of their mouth and
right.
suck it back
right.
into their mouth?
Over your little
but
butt.
Sometimes it gets a little bit too far where it breaks off. You're right there.
Mm.
You're right where it's going to break off.
Thank God for Dr. Drew.
Right?
You're not Dr. Adam. I don't see a doctor in front of your name, Mr. Big Mouth.
Sarah's wondering where David Alan Greer is.
it's David Alan Greer?
Yeah. He's funny, too.
Yeah, he is funny.
Brett?
For a black guy.
For a black guy. Yeah. Brett?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah, how you doing, Adam?
What's up?
All right, check this out. Me and my girlfriend, or my ex-girlfriend now, we were dating for about 10 months. We broke up 3 times in that period. No, she's still my best friend. She's always been my best friend. And she just wants to be able to hook up, just me and her, but not date. I was just wondering, why is the title so unimportant to her to the point where she wanted to be exclusive, just me and her, but I just don't understand that.
Who followed this?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. The title of boyfriend and girlfriend?
Yeah, it's still at the point where we're not going out, but still, it's just me and her hooking up, just me and her. No one else is involved. She's still my best friend.
But she does not want to be called boyfriend and girlfriend.
No, she just says she can't give a relationship right now when it's practically the same thing.
No, okay. But
who cares? Well, what's wrong with that? You're a guy. You should appreciate
that. That's what I've been telling her. I said anyone else out there would jump at the opportunity to bone you without having to go out with you. And she just doesn't seem to get it that I want to be with her.
You think he writes greeting cards?
Bone you without being with you?
You old sweet talker, you.
No, she does
get it. I can see why she doesn't want to leave this guy with that velvety tongue.
She does get it, Brad, and she doesn't want a relationship. She wants to be available to get into a relationship with somebody else. In the meantime, she has needs.
She just can't get let go right now.
That's true, right?
So yeah, you're right.
That's absolutely what she's doing.
All right, so, Brad?
Yeah.
If you don't like it, I mean, if you can't put up with it, then break up with her. But if you're seeing her, you're exclusive to her, you get to bone her, then why don't you just hang out, see what happens?
Well, yeah, we've been doing that, but
I think you're more involved than you can manage. With
are you in love, Brent?
Yeah.
It's always the friends with benefits. Somebody gets hurt. It's usually the women, but not always. And you're in one of those situations where it's the guy. And I suggest you cut this off. She's made it clear to you she doesn't want a relationship. She doesn't want what you want from this relationship, clearly. And if you can't do it the way she wants it, you might as well.
Brent, I got a plan. Drew's not going to agree with me, but let her get you pregnant. Okay. Okay, then she'll have to be in your life. She'll have to love you.
Or have a threesome for her.
Have a threesome. Invite one of your bi buddies over, and you can blow him while she watches. She'll love that. And then maybe he can get you pregnant, but you can say it was her seed. All right, Brett. Brett, you, if it's too much, then you got to break up with her. But it doesn't sound like the world's worth it.
And 6 months of no contact will take to get over this. And if you're boning in the meantime, the clock keeps ticking.
Yeah, you have to protect yourself.
Does boning is still the vernacular that is used?
No.
It's not bone?
Pots.
That's old.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a throwback.
Sarah didn't know what you meant even at first.
That's like an olden timey thing.
Yeah, like King David and King Solomon and people like that would use the word bone. Right? That's in the Bible.
Ruth.
Is it not?
Ruth used it.
Denise?
Yes.
You're 38?
Yes.
What's up?
Nothing much. I'm trying to break up with my boyfriend. I've been with him 5 years, and he's just too immature for me. He's like a 15-year-old. And I have a 15-year-old.
Really?
Oof. And what kind of techniques have you used to try to break up with him?
Everything. I even gone as far as the Dear John letters.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing works. He tells me all the time, well, it's not over until I say it's over.
Mm. Well, I don't think you've gone far enough.
You might have to kill him.
Yeah. No, that's what has come across my mind many times.
You should do it.
How old are you? Yeah, listen to Sarah.
Yeah, take his life, and then you'll be free.
Oh, yeah, sure. In about 40 years when I'm out of jail.
I think restraining order, change your phone number.
You kill a guy, then you give yourself a black eye. No court in the land will convict you.
Absolutely.
I just can't take him no more. He kids around too much with me. What do you mean he kids around too much? He talks about his past that he's had with all these girls, the sexual habits that he'd had with them. He also went out with a woman up at the cemetery where he works at. And
he sounds like a delight. He really does. He works at the cemetery, huh?
Yeah. He works at a cemetery.
Just adds to the charm.
Yeah. What's he do over there? He has sex with corpses or?
No, he cuts down trees.
No, that doesn't sound very cemetery-like.
No, it's not.
Euphemism.
Yeah.
And when he kids around.
Oh, it's a tree cemetery.
I see.
It's too serious when he's kidding around.
Yeah, right.
I don't even know whether or not he's kidding around or not. And the other day he was kidding around with my son, and him knowing that my son has epilepsy, he busted my son's lip by accident, gave him a bloody nose, and...
What do you mean by accident?
He was wrestling around with my son, and my son is not the type of person to wrestle around with because he doesn't like to roughhouse around with adults.
Listen, sounds like the great Santini.
You live in your own house, right?
Yes,
apartment?
I do.
All right. If he comes in, you ask him to leave. If he doesn't leave, you call the police. If you're not willing to pull that kind of structure down, he's never going to leave.
I've gone as far as, because I have cops in my family. My in-laws are all cops. My aunts, my uncles, a lot of them are cops, and they've told him many times. And this is a guy that he says he wants to marry me in 2 years, but he wants to wait until all his bills are cleared. I mean, if you love someone enough, you marry them at that point.
All right.
But
hey, listen, why'd you go out with this guy, you idiot?
I
know there's the allure of a guy who works at the cemetery that probably drew you in initially, but after you got over the excitement of a guy who works at the cemetery, I mean, well, what kept you around? What's wrong with you?
I have no idea. I guess maybe it's that stupid word called love. You think you're in love,
sure,
but, you know,
sure.
Down the line,
yeah.
You know you're not.
All right, listen, just break up with the guy. Get the key. Change the lock on the door.
Yeah,
don't let him in.
Do not let him in. Do not answer his phone.
He starts banging on the door. You call the cops.
That's it, period. And the fact that you're even arguing or having discussions with us about anything else suggests you want to be in this dance.
Yeah,
if you don't want to be in the dance, end it.
Imagine heading over to her place around the holidays. You got the kid with the epilepsy bouncing up and down like one of those wind-up penises. She's over there sounding like the spokesman from the Gold Bond ads. Wouldn't you just put a pistol in your mouth, like somewhere between the salad and when the stuffing came out? Oh, boy, I have a good life and I'm miserable. I got to explain to Denise. Denise,
yes,
are you miserable?
Yes.
Good, good. Okay, let's talk to Harper. Harper,
yeah,
you're 21.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
The other day, Dr. Drew, you guys were talking to a 20-year-old who mentioned that he was having social problems. He said that he was in the way.
What is going on here?
I don't know.
Whoa.
Harper,
you faded out.
All right, let's put Harper on hold.
Yeah, get him online and see what's going on.
Talk to Brian. Brian?
Hey.
Hey.
Adam, you're God.
Yeah.
Just to tell you.
Sure. Thanks. Thank you.
And I think it's great that you're finally telling someone to call the cops.
Finally.
Against people. Adam's always been against people calling the cops.
I don't believe I told her to call the cops. I told her to change the locks. Or did I?
You said call
I think you mentioned the cops.
I hate myself now.
Yeah, but anyway, my girlfriend, me and her were just talking.
Hold on a second. We got one guy that's 70 feet from the phone. We got another guy who stuffed it down his wind tunnel to talk to us. Is there someone in between? One guy inhaled the phone. The other guy dropped
Walked
it off
away.
And ran to the other side of the continent. Let me try to get Brian to pull away from the phone. Brian.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Give a little space between your mouth and the receiver there.
All right.
What's up?
Yeah, me and my girlfriend were, like, talking yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about, like, how much we masturbate.
Right.
She said as if it was normal, like, 4 or 5 times a day.
Yeah.
For her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know, like, what's normal and how am I supposed to, like, you know?
Are you sexually active with her?
Yeah.
And she's still good for 4 or 5 times a day?
Yeah.
You must really be good. You must
it's
really
true.
Be
the more you get it, the more you need to do that, I think.
Really?
Well, it's subjective, but I think that is true.
Well, women do because you guys have, like, a dilithium crystal worth of you know, sexual energy, whereas as guys we have like fossil fuel, we just run out. We don't have that never ending.
It's not a quartz.
So
sex just feeds the fire for the girl.
Yeah, what I mean is like we're like an old submarine. Like we run off of diesel. We have to surface 20 hours out of the day. You guys are like nuclear fusion runs your sexuality. I mean, it can just keep going. You can have multiple orgasms. You don't get tired. Orgasm's nothing for you guys. It's almost a hypothetical. For us, it's tangible. It's real. Stuff comes out of us. It's real. For you guys, it's just some place you go to in your mind. You know what I mean? There's a difference between actually getting on a plane and going on a vacation, closing your eyes, leaning back in the tub and thinking you're somewhere in the South Pacific. Wow. That's what you girls do with that orgasm.
There's something to that.
Yeah. We burn precious calories.
Lose us.
Vital fluids.
Fluids, yes.
Yes. Brian?
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. But was she sexually abused or anything?
No, not that she told me.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's one of the ways people get sort of hypersexualized. They sort of go on a trajectory because of sexual abuse or premature sexual exposures of various types. And then also people are bipolar, manic depressive, and then some people, that's just their rhythm. 4 or 5 times a day is not in the normal spectrum, you know, sort of the, within 2 standard deviations of the normal bell curve.
Right.
It's outside, but it can still be normal.
Also, can it change with your cycle, like near your menstrual cycle?
Sure, I think the way to approach this is to go, for me, it changes when...
Yeah, try it. For Drew. Okay.
For me,
Drew.
Yeah,
it changes during my cycle.
You see?
Yeah.
It's during my cycle. My
Women... tragically and ironically heat up around the cycle.
Some do.
Some do.
Some actually go the other direction during the cycle.
Some heat up a little around pregnancy, right, or different
and
trimesters.
Some, it's different trimesters. Some it's, you know, zero in the first trimester and a lot in the last. Some reverse that.
Yeah. It's a lot of very complicated.
That's a great story.
Women. Bert?
Huh?
Bert, you're 19?
Yeah.
Wow. You guys ever heard of a guy under, let's say, 55 named Bert?
No.
Yeah, my dad.
Oh.
Now, that's where you got
hurt. He's under 55?
Well, he's 40.
All right. That's, I was wondering how you got that name, Bert.
Yeah, it's actually a short name for Humberto.
All right. From what, Berto?
Humberto.
Humberto?
Yeah, I'm a half Mexican white boy.
Hi! Yeah. That's a shame. So, what's up?
Yeah, my girlfriend's been on birth control for about 5 or 6 years.
Uh-huh.
Or, I mean, 6 or 7. And I was just wondering if I should pull it out or if I could leave it in. I mean, if there's any difference.
Talking about the
pill?
Humberto's penis?
Yeah.
That sounds like a good, like just bad art house film, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's
Humberto's penis.
Yeah, absolutely. See it over the rail.
Well, we got a title, Sarah. Let's write something around that title.
Absolutely.
I'll play the role of Humberto's penis.
Email me an outline.
Okay. Hey, Humberto.
Huh?
How old is she?
She's 18 now.
She's been on the pill for 5, 6 years?
Yeah.
Since she was 13.
Something like that.
You've been having sex with her since then?
What's that?
She's trying to regulate her period or something?
She has polycystic ovaries.
Oh, interesting.
I see.
Yeah.
So, because she also has a risk for diabetes, you got to watch out for. She gets older and watch exercise, watch her weight, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
As long as she's on the pill and she's not taking other medication, she's taking it properly, you are covered. You don't have to pull out.
Sweet.
All right.
I was pretty sure, but I just wanted to make sure.
All right.
Something nice about pulling out once in a while, though, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely, man.
Yeah. What's nice about that?
You get to see it.
Yeah. I'm not always so sure something's coming out of my penis.
You got to check?
I got to check. Yeah. I do it into a little Petri dish, and then I weigh it. Then I can tell if I had a good orgasm or not.
You get a sperm count stuff, too?
No.
Motility?
No. Just weigh it. Yeah. I'll do motility sometimes. Sometimes I'll hold a flashlight under it.
You have to get a microscope there, you know.
No, I can see it with a flashlight. I have obese sperm. You never seen that? Mine can be seen with the naked eye.
That's more than obese.
Oh, it is?
Gigantic sperm.
Well, it's the way the Corollas are. My dad had big sperm.
Lazy, though.
Lazy. Oh, yeah. Well, big people don't move too good. You ever notice that?
Well, yeah, huge people.
Yeah, my dad just had like one big sperm. He didn't have multiple sperm. It was it looked like a guppy.
Mm.
Yeah. Jumped out of his penis, jumped into my mom. That was my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was the other one. And he doesn't have any more sperm.
And you were like a little homunculus tucked into the head of the sperm?
Homunculus?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I like that.
Yeah.
That'd be a good movie for us to work on. Homunculus?
Sure. You got it.
And Humberto's penis. We out of time here yet? No. Mm-hmm. I'll take one more call. Harper?
Yeah.
There he is.
Hey, I apologize about that.
That's all right.
The other day, there was a call. A guy was talking about he was smart, and he was having social problems. And Dr. Drew, you mentioned that it was intellectual defense that he was coming to.
Yes.
And resentment that he was socially inept and these people were not. Now, I think I have...
I didn't say socially inept. I said he has a social phobia, and he needs to develop social skills, and he's envious of people that do have those skills, and as opposed to developing the skills, he spends all his time in resentment.
Right. He resented those people for that, but I don't exactly resent people for their social abilities. And
You don't sound resentful, and so you're someone who is.
But you are one of those idiots who thinks we're talking to you and we're talking to somebody else. Isn't that a form of a social disability, Drew?
Well, finish your story, Harper. Let's hear you out.
You also mentioned a few calls ago social problems due to alcoholism in the family. Is that true? Does that actually happen? Having alcoholism in the family causing social problems for future generations?
Well, coming from an alcoholic family causes a whole spectrum of problems, amongst which there can be various kinds of anxiety disorders, social anxiety disorder being one of them, social phobia.
Panic attacks as well?
Absolutely.
What describes a panic attack? What's the difference between, say, a panic attack and depression?
Depression is you feel sad, you don't have motivation, you may have aches and pains, feeling worthlessness, guilty, irritability. A panic attack feels like you're going to die. Your heart wants to burst out of your chest, you get pain, you get headache, you feel like you're going crazy. It's like a lightning bolt out of the sky where you feel like the world is going to end.
Drew had one of those when we were filming Loveline.
Oh, I did.
Really?
Oh, I did. I got a fight with Jon Favreau.
That day?
Yeah. And we sort of finished that show, and the next one I couldn't concentrate. All of a sudden I started having a panic attack, and I go, I got to take a break. So
right
I go,
in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
He got up and went to his dressing room. Had to lay down on the sofa.
I just had to take a breather. And Adam comes in the dressing room and goes, "What did you say to me?"
Well, go ahead.
I said, "God damn it, get your effing ass in there. If I have to spend one more minute in this studio because of you, I'm going to kick your ass."
And what happened?
Did I do it?
No.
Yes. How dare you?
Hell, I went out there.
You got right up. You finished the show. You never felt better about yourself.
I finished the show. I didn't know where the hell I was, but I finished the show.
Klonopin.
But here's the point. Have you had a panic attack, Sarah?
Yeah, I used to have terrible panic attacks. Like 13, 14, 15, 16.
All right. I had one once when I realized I wasn't going to get a nap in. Then it's all of a sudden the world started closing in on me. When I realized I wasn't going to have time to catch a 20 minutes worth of Z's.
Isn't the masturbation before your nap that you really
want? Oh, well, that's more than a panic attack. Yeah, I mean, that is death.
Devastation.
Yeah, yeah, that's not despair. Imagining death. That is death. All right, Dr. Drew here tonight, Sarah Silverman here tonight from Greg the Bunny, which is on Fox, 9:30, Wednesday nights. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to Toby, who's 24. He is gay. His male lover straight. He's doing drugs, too. Wait a minute. Toby?
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Is that your real name?
No, it's not.
To me, that's like the number one gay name, Toby.
Oh, okay. I just tried to pick something out of the blue.
Really?
Yeah, seven-time caller.
Interesting that you would pick Toby, though.
I could have picked Kunta.
Toby is replaced Bruce is the number one gay name. Drew, were you aware of that?
No, but
you didn't read that in JAMA?
In the headline, no.
Interesting. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. We'll get back with Toby and Sarah and Drew after this.
Hi, this is Jon Favreau, and you're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. Did you hear that, Drew?
Oh, I heard that.
Drew hates Jon Favreau.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a good kid, sweet kid. I love him.
Hi, this is Jon Favreau.
What did he say to you? What was the fight about? Is it all right to ask?
Yeah, he didn't say anything to me. We had a call on the TV show from a guy who was clearly psychotic and like, very mentally ill and, like, gravely impaired to a point that I didn't even think we should be taking the call. And I said, look, you're supposed to be on medicine, aren't you? Yes, but though I won't do that, they try to get me acutely paranoid and really a danger to himself. And I said, look, listen to what they're telling you. Take the medicine. Go back. Get help. And Favreau goes, you don't need to listen to anybody. Don't take medicine. That's bad. And I thought, this person could die or he'll kill someone because of what you're saying. And he kept going, and I just got pissed off.
Yeah, it wasn't quite
angry,
that bad.
Angry.
Drew's got a lot of anger that should be directed at his father that sort of comes
spilled
out
over to Jon Favreau.
Random celebrities every once in a while. So
be careful.
It usually has to have a phallus attached to the person in order to receive the anger, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, it's not a female.
And there needs to be the lightning rod of the phallus.
Yeah, it can't really be a female. So you're cool, sir.
Does the listening audience know that you guys are holding hands while you do this?
Well, we talk about
it. Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, didn't we talk about this, Sarah?
Oh, yeah, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
We are both wearing West Virginia University shirts.
How weird is that?
Well, it's not that weird a coincidence, considering I wear mine 4 nights
We both love the
coincidence is that you put yours on.
We love these shirts. We got them like 3 years ago or something.
Yeah. All right. Serendipity. Sarah Silverman is here, by the way, from Greg the Bunny, which airs Wednesday nights at 9:30 on Fox. Sarah is the foxy brunette, or more than a brunette. Like, is black hair a brunette?
Hmm?
It is? I thought black hair is black hair.
Hmm.
Brunette's brown? Sarah, what's the answer to that?
I think brunette's just dark, and then the blondes are the light ones.
And red are the red ones.
I don't know. I think black may be black, and brunette may be brown.
Hi, this is John Favreau.
Tony? Listen.
Come on, Drew's going to have a panic attack. Toby, you're 24.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All right.
First of all, I wanted to tell you, Adam, I do have a copy of Youngblood.
Oh, the movie, the hockey movie?
In the original box, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh,
solid movie.
Brunette, brownish.
Yeah.
Dictionary.
Jesus. You two chicks didn't know the answer to that question? Very sad.
Oh, wait. Uh-oh. A person having brown or black hair.
Oh. But brunette means brownish.
Hey, dictionary. A person having brown or black hair.
All right. Well, where'd the brownish part come in then?
It's the second definition under that.
Okay, second. Toby.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I think I'm in big trouble, basically.
Why?
I met someone about 7-8 months ago. We used to work together. We became like really cool friends, basically best friends. Stupid me, I fell in love basically, and we've been messing around for a little bit. To make a long story short, about 3 weeks ago, he started doing crack. I mean, we had been basically smoking pot and everything and those sort of things, but nothing that serious.
How old is he?
He is 21.
Did you say he was straight?
Yeah, he is.
What do you mean he's straight?
How do you guys mess around if he's straight?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've noticed, I mean, every couple of, I've seen straight guys do that before. I mean, at least guys who I think are straight.
He's bisexual.
Really?
Those are guys trying to be
straight.
Blow
guys? I mean, look, those are drug addicts who are trying to make $50. We've all done that.
Wait, is that all that was?
No, he hasn't ever gone down on me or anything. Just me.
No, I mean,
you go down on him?
Yeah.
And he just sort of holds still.
Sometimes, sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's still gay, though.
I wish. I mean, every once in a while he'll make it seem like he is. He'll say, "Man."
But Toby, he's all over the place. You don't know what he is.
This guy's a mess.
He's a drug addict, and he's probably. I guarantee you he's a survivor of traumatic abuse. And people with that kind of abuse have very serious boundary problems and identity issues, and he needs to be treated.
He has abandonment issues, but not any, like, overt abuse or anything like that.
Well, right, but listen, by the way,
Toby.
Yeah.
Listen, you need to find yourself a nice, rich, older, gay, sugar daddy type who's got himself like a nice two-seater, picks you up, toots the horn. You know what I mean? You come running out with the picnic basket. You guys head down PCH. Scarves blowing in the wind.
Ooh.
Herb Alpert on the A-track. Yeah.
But
yeah.
No.
Never heard of that, Drew? Yeah. Yeah, you don't need some young crack whore who you got to drag through life. This guy's a mess.
I'll refer him for treatment if you want to.
Get the guy some treatment and you move on to a guy who can get in a relationship with you.
I'm just so scared that, I mean, I've never, like, I've done it maybe twice before, and I've never gotten the effect from it, and this last week I did it for a couple of days, and I definitely got an effect for it, and I'm scared that I'm, addicted to it or something.
What's he talking about?
No, he's talking about crack.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, you?
And now I don't believe it.
Yeah, I don't believe me either. Yeah. All right, Toby. I don't believe you.
Well, you think this is, this is my seventh time calling. I'm not bogus. I'm definitely not. And
then you need to get treatment, too. You already said you're marijuana addicted. You're smoking pot all the time. You've got chaotic relationships. I mean, you need to, you've got a lot, and you're not really perceiving your partner realistically. You seem to be very confused. You get someone from mental health services to take a look at you and get a therapist and have somebody evaluate you and see what your needs are. Don't worry about him right now.
All right. Let's talk to Maddie, who's 13.
Yep.
Maddie?
Yep.
What's up?
Hey.
Hey.
Well, my parents Well, okay, first of all, my little sister's on the phone, too, because she's kind of part of the problem.
How old is your little sister?
She's 10.
No, no, Maddie.
Okay, anywho, so,
Well, what, now, wait a minute. We
10 years old.
10-year-old?
Really?
No.
Well, what's the problem?
Okay, I'm getting it.
Yeah, but I'm afraid what she's going to say in front of the 10-year-old.
No. Well, where are your parents right now, Maddie?
Watching TV.
Okay.
No, I'm on the phone.
Okay.
Why don't we just talk to Maddie?
Let's just talk to you.
What's your sister's name?
Lindsay.
Lindsay, do me a favor. Just hang up just for a few minutes, okay?
Okay.
All right, Lindsay. Thank you.
Okay.
Is that a real voice, or is that like a lamb chop puppet?
That's the age of my kids.
Nope. Are your kids 10?
Well, they will be a couple months.
Couple months?
Or maybe
3 years.
5 months.
Give me a break. Maddie, will you turn the radio down, please?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, hold on.
Don't do that.
Okay. Okay. Well, my parents...
Hold on. What's going on in the background there?
I think we're picking something up.
What? No, the door's closed.
Hold on.
Okay, so the radio's down.
Mm-hmm. That's us.
Oh, my God. I'm going. I'm turning it off.
It's me. There can't be another radio show. They'd never let a guy who sounds like that on the air.
Never.
Okay.
All right.
So, my parents, well, right now we're remodeling our house, and so my parents' room is kind of destroyed, and so they're sleeping in the living room. Their bed is in the living room, and that's right outside my room, and they're having, like, really, like, weird sex, and it's kind of scary.
What do you mean weird?
What?
I mean, you hear it.
Listen, all sex is weird when your parents are having it.
I know. It's really weird.
Missionary is bizarre when your parents are having it. All right. So it's screwing with you? You don't want to hear it?
Yeah, I don't want to hear it. It's really nasty.
Okay.
How is she?
Causing me to not sleep.
All right. I bet not.
Drew takes great offense to this, but how about, we used to get this question a lot, how about, thank God the 10-year-old's off the air, but
yeah.
Why don't you say...
Well, she wouldn't know what it was if you didn't explain it to her, Maddie. No, she does. She's 10.
Drew, wait till your kids get into their 40s. You're going to be doing this goddamn radio show. How could they possibly know? They're only 40. Drew, you have to transpose everything over to your kids.
Yes, everything.
10-year-olds know what's up.
They know what's going on. Some of them do.
They've heard about this stuff. I'm going to put Maddie on hold because her line is driving me nuts. But look. You don't have to tell them to stop having sex. You should say, I was up all night. I heard noises coming. Were you guys, if you guys were like wrestling or talking or something? Anyway, could you keep it down? Because I couldn't sleep.
What about her just getting up? Like, Mom, I need to get a drink of water.
Yeah, but Mom's can't hear because her knees are over her ears, and her dad has her duct tape together, and he's so working her like a mitt.
If she's half a parent, just the slightest peep out of the kid, they'll hear it and they will.
Yeah,
freak.
Drew, these guys, they're calling from Mill Valley. You know these guys? They own some sort of, they sell pottery by the roadside, and they grow their own hemp and smoke weed all day. They don't know anything. They have hippie parents. I'm telling you, watch. Maddie?
Yep.
Do you have hippie parents?
No.
This is Silicon Valley.
Turn your radio down.
Oh. This is by business people.
No, it's off. But, no, they're actually pretty protective, and, like, I would never actually think of them as having sex.
Ever.
What's your dad do for a living?
Like, I don't know. He's, I don't know.
Yeah. It supports my theory that no woman knows what her dad does
for
a living.
What does your dad do for a living? You know?
He writes novels.
See, there you go. She knows. She
know.
Well, she's smart.
Well, he used to own a retail discount girls clothing store called Crazy Sophie's Factory Outlet.
Really?
Yeah.
Is your dad one of those nutty genius types?
Yeah, he did like his own commercials and everything. And
oh, wow.
And you really couldn't understand a word he was saying because of this. He's from Brockton, Massachusetts. But he writes novels. He wrote a book. It got published called The Event.
Really?
I'd be so happy I said that.
My dad read a book. It was a big deal.
Really?
Yeah. So that was a milestone in the Corolla family.
Crazy Sophie's.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And give me a taste of his accent.
Well, I'll give you an example. I... My dad was saying, he's not
He's like, hey, did you, where do you keep your passport or whatever? And I'm like, I keep it in a drawer. And he goes, oh, a drawer? A drawer? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, how do you spell that? I'm like, D-R-A-W-E-R. You're kidding me.
He thought it was drawer.
Yeah, no, he thought it was draw.
Oh.
Draw, D-R-A-W.
Wow. Really?
Mm-hmm. This was not 2 weeks ago.
Oh, all right, so you're still young.
Yeah.
All right, so Maddie needs to tell Mommy and Daddy that she heard awful racket coming from the room and she couldn't sleep last night. Don't wait until they're getting it on again.
Right.
I have to go walk in there and watch that
whatever racket. It is, she needs to figure out a creative way to put them on notice that they're awake.
Yeah, but while they're not humping.
And preferably.
There you go, Drew. Sarah Silverman is our guest tonight. She's from Drake the Bunny. 9:30 Wednesday nights on Fox. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew's over there. Paul Tracy, the race car driver, is going to be in here tomorrow night. He's going to be at the Grand Prix of Long Beach, which I'll be at on Sunday, sitting in the bleachers with all the other schlubs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you'll at least be in the pit. Be fair.
Yeah.
You'll be in that beer garden. Sometimes.
There's nothing like that beer buzz during the day. You know what I mean? Where you just pound a few free beers at noon, you know, and then you stumble out of some tent.
You like that?
Make some awkward remark to one of the wives of the racers.
Inappropriate remark.
Yeah, that's my plan. That is my plan for Sunday. So I'll be looking forward to that. Looking forward to Paul Tracy in here tomorrow night. Sarah Silverman is our guest tonight. She is from Greg the Bunny, Wednesday nights on Fox, 9:30. Let's see. I'd say this is the fifth episode. Which one is it?
Yeah.
Is it
to recreate?
Well, they've been.
I saw the first one.
They've been.
They
plugged it for a long time. I mean, they hyped it for a couple of months
really
before it
too
came
much.
Out.
You know when they do that too much?
No, not too much. But what happens is then once the show's been on the air for 3 weeks, it feels like it's been on the air for 3 months because you've been hearing about it for a long time.
Then they change the night, right? Didn't they change?
No, it's three episodes have aired, but it's been on. Tomorrow will be the third Wednesday, but after the first Wednesday it was on, they showed like a special airing on Sunday. Yeah, and I think they play encore episodes on different days and stuff like that. Get it into the America's, you know, bloodstream.
That's why you're looking for bloodstream.
Yeah, I had to search my mind for that. No, those big words.
That was a long haul for bloodstream. But it's generally a success, right? I mean, the network's happy. Everyone's happy.
Yeah, everyone's happy.
Good.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. I've never had like a regular job, so it's a little. But it's, you know, it's fun. It's good. Eugene Levy's.
He may have. I was announcing the other day. I don't know to who, but he may have more brow than me. It's better shaped than mine, but he may have more volume of brow than I have.
Could be.
What do you think?
Yeah, maybe.
There's more brow there.
There's a lot of brow, but you know what? He also does. He makes the most of the brow.
Yeah, it's shaped.
Yeah, but he lifts it, he moves it around. I don't use my brow as a crutch like Eugene does.
It's a part of his bag of tricks, the brows. No, he can't even help it.
Yeah, I think he can. He knows what he's doing.
Because he's actually like a subtle actor. He's like very subtle, but he seems broader because of his face.
Yeah, he uses his brow to his advantage, whereas I use my ass hair to my advantage. It just doesn't translate on screen as well as the brow does. Lisa?
Yes?
You're 27?
I'm 29. Why does everybody keep saying 27? I'm 29.
Well, because our retarded screeners write 27.
The Damien guy?
Yes.
It's just wrong. Yeah, and
so, listen, you're
on Monday.
All right, you're going to be 30 Monday, and you're going to shoot a guy who wants to call you 27?
That's exactly right, because I look 24.
So, here we go.
I'm kind of an asshole, Lisa. We're less than 30 seconds into our conversation.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, right, Sarah Silverman, you're really cool. I didn't know you were on tonight. We don't hear it here until tomorrow. So I looked up to find out who she was.
They got a tape delay.
Whatever.
Oh, wow, thanks.
Yeah, I know. She cracked me up. You were on the Hugh Hefner roast.
Yeah. Oh, Adam was on that, too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyways.
Thanks.
I'm calling because I'm horribly neglected by my 47-year-old husband.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually record your show a couple nights a week and listen to it in the car on the way to work in the morning.
Wow.
And
Thank you.
You go into work together?
Oh, no. He drives me to my job and then goes on. Yeah, sort of.
Okay. And how did this 20-year age difference come to be?
17.
Yeah, I beg your pardon. That's right, you're 29, not 27.
Yeah. You know what? He was actually, I was consulting with him on my divorce about six years ago.
He's an attorney.
Yes.
Kind of a business.
I fired him well before I moved in with him.
Fired him before you moved in? How about, were you still his client when you started dating him?
No.
Okay.
We knew right away. And I kind of knew him. He was sort of an acquaintance, you know.
All right. So
it's
what's up?
It's perverted that
we're fine with it.
And how long have you been married?
Just exploring.
I'm just exploring.
I know. You don't like attorneys. But
I don't like attorneys either. I don't have to blame anybody.
How long have you been with him?
6 years.
So you were getting out of a marriage at the age of 23?
24, yeah.
And what happened with that marriage?
It was just a really bad idea in the first place. I mean, part of the clue of that marriage was I left through the entire ceremony. The priest had to stop it twice and told us he wasn't going to marry us, but I didn't stop.
But unfortunately, that doesn't help me. What happened to that marriage?
Well, she's gregarious.
He made her laugh. What was the problem with him?
It didn't work out.
Well, no. What was the...
All right, listen. I have mixed feelings about punishing Lisa for her attitude because she tapes the show.
No, let's get
you know what I'm saying?
Let me get
to right, well, I'll let you talk to Lisa if you promise not to bring up another number in front of her because if she corrects anyone in the studio again,
no numbers.
Do no math with Lisa. You will never be right.
Do not expect the first time I ask any question there be a direct answer. Each question is going to take at least three swacks.
A Chinese physicist could not float a number in front of Lisa without her correcting him.
That's right. And I don't mean just numbers. I mean any question will get first defense, then denial, and then we'll get it somewhere.
I'm guessing she's good-looking. She has the attitude of an attractive woman.
All right, so Lisa, what happened with that marriage? This is number two.
Yes.
The second time I'm asking you, what happened to this marriage?
We didn't get along. He was a total a-hole and made me feel bad about myself.
Okay.
And I didn't realize it at the time because he was older than me and I thought he was so wise. And
so you keep going for these older guys. What's up with you and your dad?
Is your dad older?
No, don't see my dad.
You don't see your dad?
No.
So that's a relationship you never really had.
Right. Okay. Well, he was a really good dad until I was like 12 and then just dropped off the face of the earth.
He what?
It was really a shock that he turned into such a jerk.
Well, you know what? The guy you thought he was, he's not.
Right.
And so what you thought he was wasn't real.
Right.
And the real guy is the prick that left when you were 12 because a good person couldn't do that.
Right.
All right. And that's what you found out with your last two marriages.
And you're going down a path with this guy where you're kind of looking for ways out on this one, too.
Well, I don't know. See, with my first marriage, I can't really compare the two because I don't think we were really ever in love. I just had to get out.
Okay.
There was, like, foster care and chaos at home. It was
foster care?
Yeah.
For you.
Okay, so do you want to get out of this relationship?
No, I don't. See, here's the thing that makes me want to wring his neck. I really, really love him. I'm incredibly attracted to him. People think I'm attractive, but he just doesn't.
You think you're attractive?
Yeah.
What does that mean to you? What's your evidence that he doesn't think you're attractive? Does he tell you you're not attractive?
Well, he has called me fat a couple times lately.
Has he said I'm not attracted to you?
Yes.
Well, fat with a pH is...
Okay, go ahead.
Well, the guy's an attorney who married one of his clients. so we don't really trust him. Attorneys are horribly flawed people. They're really like, they're salesmen with degrees.
They're evil.
Yes, they are flawed people. They're as bad as car salesmen, except for they have education, which makes them even more dangerous.
That's exactly right.
Now, I don't think at age 47 this guy's going to change a whole heck of a lot.
No.
But you can bring this to him and tell him you want to get some counseling and some therapy, or you want to work it out, or if things don't change, the relationship is going to end. What would he do if you brought that to his attention?
Well, actually, we've been tossing around the D word lately.
Divorce.
Yes.
Oh, my God. What a mess, Lisa. This is a total mess.
But we have a baby, and I really love
him. Oh, my God, Lisa. Oh, my God.
This is where...
You know, Lisa, listen. You were abandoned by your dad. You were left in foster care. You have some major abandonment and trauma issues in your past. Why don't you deal with that? And if you start healing... Maybe he'll come along. And maybe if he doesn't, then you'll be in a position to make a decision.
All right, so she should do some individual counseling.
That poor child needs to have an available mom. And you know what Lisa could do is going to recreate for her child exactly the life that Lisa had.
Yeah, well, that's what you do.
He sounds like a real dink.
Yeah, he's a hump.
Maybe not. He might be good. She's sabotaging. You don't know.
That's true, too. But he is an attorney, Drew. You know how
she's kind of recreating that thing with her dad, right?
Absolutely.
All right, let's take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back.
Sure, get the hang of this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, by the 1 o'clock hour, she should be. Really,
I know, I'm sorry. Really I'm thinking a lot of smart things.
Really hitting her stride. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Yeah. Bloodline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Sarah Silverman is our guest tonight. She's from Greg the Bunny, 9:30, Wednesday nights on Fox. And we are now going to get back to the phones and speak to Rachel, who's 16. Rachel? Rachel?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello?
Yep.
Okay. My question is, when I was about 12, 13... 14, I was pretty heavy into drugs. I was doing a lot of heroin, a lot of pills. I was smoking a lot of marijuana.
Age appropriate behavior, sure.
Perfectly normal, perfectly
naturally healthy.
Any hallucinogens?
No, not until I was a little bit older.
So, what did you end up using?
Well, I did some shrooms, and I did ecstasy once, and then I did
inhalants.
No.
No, huffing. What are they called?
Yeah, I think it's huffing.
No, none of that.
Huffing.
Yeah, that's it, but no, none of that.
Okay.
And I was wondering, like, how badly that affected me at that, like, development.
Well, interestingly, yeah, it's an interesting question. So the main drugs were opiates, right?
Yeah.
And probably benzodiazepines, like Valium, Xanax, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Those drugs actually do not, believe it or not, harm your brain.
Turns out they're good for you.
Turns out they're not good for you, but they don't really cause the kind of damage we see from ecstasy and LSD and other kinds of drugs. In fact, the pot is probably the most serious thing you did in that it has been shown in some studies to delay the growth of the right frontal lobe of your brain, which is what you're using to negotiate development through adolescence. Now, that will kick back in again if you get back in some form of recovery. The problem with the drugs you were using is that they cause the most serious forms of addiction.
Right.
So the switch is thrown on a profound and highly active addictive disease. So are you in treatment?
Yeah, I had 9 months clean. I started going to Narcotics Anonymous.
All right, so you're in recovery, and to be in recovery at your age is an extraordinary accomplishment. It's very difficult to do at your age. I'm sure you're finding
that's good.
It's a great thing that she's in it, and just stick with it.
Not as opposed to someone who didn't get into drugs at all, right?
It's a preferable history not to be in drugs. Yeah, but if for someone who had,
you got a choice for your kids, Drew.
Preferable
rehab at 16 or. Just in the 10th grade.
Well, the reason I commend Rachel is that the usual 12 to 14-year-old heroin addict is, by 20, a total disaster.
Usually just beginning a very long journey down a very dark path.
Often doesn't see 30, doesn't live to 30.
Right.
And the fact that you're in recovery at 16 bodes well.
Now, there's been confusion about this in the past, not with me, but with some of the listeners. When you say doesn't see 30... Again,
29,
it,
goes 29
it doesn't mean
31.
Going from 29 to 31. It means you die. Is that true?
No, it means going from 29 to...
Oh, it does.
Sometimes 32. Sometimes you don't see 31 either.
Oh, so you ought to say that. You may never see 30.
Or 31.
Or 31.
Think that'll impress them?
Now, that may be more confusing.
Yeah.
Say you'll die at 30.
Well, diet, often diet by 30.
I could have skipped 30 and been fine with it. It wasn't a great year. I didn't get laid much. I didn't think I worked that much.
In fact, that,
I ended up napping a lot anyway.
You that guys was... are adorable.
Yeah, we're cute. All right, hey, Rachel, God bless you. You're doing great for yourself.
Yeah, but so all the damage, it will repair itself, right?
Yeah, it's not really damaged with the drugs.
Yeah, you're fine.
Again, those drugs are not that damaging, just horrible, horrible addiction, and that's what you need to attend to.
Okay.
All right?
And really, as a female, you don't need your brain as much as guys do anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Right.
So are you listening to him?
Yeah, I didn't.
You're not offended?
What?
Okay.
I would say...
Yeah, had you heard.
Men really need their brain. Women, it's nice.
To have a brain.
Yeah.
But not necessarily.
It's frosting on the cake.
Right. You got boobs and ovaries. This brain, sure, it's great, but...
A little overrated for a woman?
Yeah, it's kind of... You know what it is? It's like on the back of the sports car, that chrome luggage rack.
Don't necessarily need that.
Yeah, it's nice. You grab one that has one on there.
It's like the little tab that holds your parking ticket on your windshield.
See what I was talking about with the brain?
Right, I got it.
With the who?
What tab are you talking about?
On some cars, there's a little tab on the windshield, and you can put your parking ticket there so you don't lose it.
You know what she's done? Those little plastic things. You can slip them.
You mean on the sun visor?
She's overthinking you. No.
Outside of the car?
Inside. Some cars have
inside
a plastic
of the car.
Thing. You've never seen it, probably.
Inside the car?
Inside the car. There's a plastic. It kind of slides up and down on the sort of the edge of the, where the window is, where the windshield is. Yes, yes. And it's a little, not every car has that.
What? This is high-end cars?
No, not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
I shouldn't have messed with the analogy.
No, it was good. I was just confused. I didn't...
Apparently not good.
I had never seen that part in
your
a car.
Your brain is too big.
You put your parking tickets there or
you
your
put
valet?
Anything there, flat.
And so you can read it or so people can see it when they're...
You can put your directions to get to the place you're going. You can put your ticket.
Let's go check our cars and see if there's a...
Well, I don't have one of those. Drew, do you have one of those?
I don't think I do, but I might.
Sarah, do you have one of those? What are you driving? Like
no,
a
I...
What do you have?
I have a 97 Volvo sedan. It's a great car.
I thought you said Volvo, too. All right, we're going to go look and see if you have this thing.
I can't believe that's making you giggle. You're a doctor.
Yeah, but he's used to saying Volvo.
He's, like, crying.
No, it's just like, you guys seem like teenagers.
Yeah.
Your voices are, like, old.
See what we have to endure all night? James?
Yeah.
You're 20. What's up?
Oh, yeah. Okay. First of all, I want to say you guys are awesome. I'm glad you guys are here to talk to.
Great.
Just recently, I found out that my girlfriend that I've been with for a while turned around and she went through an adoption without telling me or anybody else.
Adoption?
An abortion. Excuse me. I'm sorry. What she did is she told... It happened about a year ago. She ended up getting pregnant, and she told all of her friends that it was some guy that she worked with. I found out 6 months later that she got pregnant by some guy that she worked with and had an abortion. And I just recently found out that it was not some guy. It was mine.
How did she know that?
Because she was not with anybody else.
Okay.
And
what's the question?
Why?
I'm just looking for advice. I mean, I want to know how...
Hold on, you were with her during that time she said she got pregnant by some guy she worked with?
Right. She didn't want to tell me because at the time I wasn't with her. I mean, she got pregnant with me and then I left about a month later and I was out not with her and then
right. During that time that you didn't have a relationship and she had no reason to believe that you ever would again, she got an abortion.
Right.
Okay. Let's put the history in that context.
And the good news is she didn't have some guy from work banging on her.
Right, but I'm just wondering, you know, how I should go about dealing with this because I haven't really talked to her. I freaked out on her pretty bad.
What's there to deal with? You were broken up and she assumed there'd be no relationship and she did something that was within her rights?
Exactly.
What are you freaking out about?
Well, do you wish you had a child with her now?
No, I'm just kind of upset because I had absolutely no say in what happened. And
you weren't in a relationship with her, and she had no reason to believe you would be. Why? It's her. It's her.
You know the part of life confuses me. The part where people go, no. It's not that she didn't have the abortion. It's that she didn't ask. I didn't want the kid.
Yeah.
I hate kids. You know, I'm 20 and I'm homeless. But she didn't ask. See, this to me is like if I go to take a leak and we're at a deli and I come back and you ordered me the corned beef, which is what I would have ordered, yeah. I'm happy. Yeah. I don't get all freaked out. How dare you? I could have wanted the egg salad. No, I got what I wanted. Shut the F up. If he gets what he wants, then what's the part about where I wasn't consulted? Somebody should have told me. This is an attack, you ordering the corned beef.
Massive grandiosity. Think about that. She was living her own life as a separate person.
All right. Yeah, James, you took off on her. This is what happens. I understand it's an emotional issue, and you have some feelings about it, but sometimes you have feelings and energy and emotions about things, but it's not anyone's fault. You don't have to lay it out on anybody.
Right.
Do you understand that? I mean, this happens all the time. Bad things happen, and there's no one to really point a finger at.
If you were going to point at anybody, it'd be yourself for leaving that relationship. If it was something you really cared that much about,
well,
you made a mistake.
Why did you leave the relationship?
Because I didn't know at the time how much I really did care about her.
All right, well, you made a mistake. You made the mistake. She didn't make a mistake. She did what she wanted to do as a separate, independent, whole person within the boundaries of her rights.
Yeah, you broke up with her.
You made a mistake.
Okay, so I shouldn't...
Well, what are you going to do?
I can't do anything about it.
No, you can't, and why... What is it... What do you want her to say? What do you want her to do? Do you understand?
Right, I do, yeah.
Okay.
When men have feelings, they always want to, like, do something about it or punch somebody or fix it in some way. And, like, sometimes all we're made up of is feelings. So, you know, if you feel bad or you feel a sense of loss or something, that's okay to just feel those things.
Yeah, I think this is a, from a societal standpoint, it's really starting to bother me that every time something happens to someone that doesn't make them feel good, they have to look around and figure out, what do I do? Do I sue the manufacturer of the bicycle? Do I sue the supermarket? Do I yell at my girlfriend? Do I blame the school system? Look, sometimes bad things happen to you. In this case, James, it's because you misjudged your feelings for her and left her.
You know what that
really
is?
This is almost all your fault.
But not just for James so much, but this whole thing you're talking about where people can't take anything on, any responsibility for anything that happened to them. It's all diverted, deflected shame. Anything that makes them feel like they were responsible or they feel bad about something they did, they get exposed to shame and they got to put it somewhere else.
Right.
Got to put it on to somebody else. It's really
exactly
them.
Right.
They should be ashamed. It's them the problem.
James knocks up his girlfriend. Then James takes off and God knows maybe there's another woman involved. Or for whatever reason, dumps his girlfriend, now leaves her with child and alone. She has an abortion, and he should feel some responsibility and some culpability.
And some shame.
For this, and some shame. And now he wants to know.
You know what, it really should be guilt. And people, when you're not evolved enough, you go right to shame.
Right.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Thank you. Then he tees off on her.
Yeah.
And then women wonder, and guys, but they wonder why their partner doesn't tell them anything after a while. Because they just freak.
Mm.
And by the way, the part where she got knocked up at work, and she told everybody some guy at work knocked me up.
Troublesome.
And it turns out that she told James it was him.
Yeah. Speaks volumes about her.
It's also possible that it was a guy from work, and that when James laid into her about who the hell were you banging at work, she flipped it around back to him and said it was yours. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, what's the guy at work thing? Did she ever tell the guy at work? Is there no guy at work?
There was no guy at work, allegedly.
I think there may have been a guy at work.
Now we're starting to think that maybe there was.
I think James may have flipped out about the alleged guy at work, and she just said it was you. Do you know what I'm saying?
I got you. We will never know.
No. But you know the beauty of it? We'll never care. I mean, outside from this moment on. Ready? Go.
Next.
Neil?
Oh.
That was funny. Right? Anderson did that. Yeah, that was good.
That was a good one. Yeah.
Neil?
Goose
Yeah.
Douche nozzle.
That's the word I would like to bring into the American lexicon. Douche nozzle. What's up there, Neil?
Well, let's give a little history there. This is as opposed to douchebag.
I've been hearing people being called douchebags for years.
Nozzle's so much better because that's the part that goes inside a lady's vagina.
And it sounds so much better, like it could be used from a cab, you know, yelling at a cabbie. You douche nozzle, shake your ass! You know, you got that? And it could even be a term of endearment, like a nine-year-old boy. Hey, give me a little douche nozzle. Let your Uncle Adam at you.
It's got a Yiddish lilt to it.
Yeah, and I could do like, my sister, she's living up in Topanga. I got a couple little douche nozzles running around. Yeah, she's all set up. But if it has to be pejorative, it'll work. Yeah, but her husband,
he's a douche
nozzle. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you should just say nozzle after a while, and then if you say just nozzle, you say it on network TV, he's a nozzle.
No, he becomes DN.
No,
I don't.
He's just such a DN.
Douche nozzle.
He's a DNer. Back to that brain thing again.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying some hip word for like it, then it becomes.
No, I'm with Sarah on the just the nozzle part eventually.
He's a nozzle.
All right, Neil the nozzle, what's up?
Hey, I just want to say, Drew, I think you give some great advice, and Adam, I love the man show.
Great.
Yeah?
Thank you.
Anyways,
it's going to be a permanent part of our
show, yeah.
Drop-in, yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't drink that often, but when I do, I tend to drink a lot, and I have a tendency to lose my memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know why that happens. And
how many times has that happened to you?
It's happened to me more than I can count.
Is it happening more frequently now when you drink?
Yeah, actually.
Does it seem to be happening at lower levels of alcohol exposure?
No, it's usually about the same amount.
You drink a lot. Well, they say, one of the sort of axioms out there is that if you're blacking out, that's a symptom of alcoholism. It's an abnormal physiologic reaction or relationship with alcohol. Now, I think abusers, non-alcoholic abusers of alcohol, will sometimes black out, you know, 3, 4, even 5 times. Adam, how many times do you black out?
No, I never black out.
You passed out.
Yeah, that's different.
That is different. You vomited in the ice maker, crapped yourself, and then you passed out, right?
I did not crap myself. I vomited in the ice maker, and then I went out to the alley behind the Tijuana bar to recline a little bit.
Until the cop came and kicked you?
Well, you know what was funny is I did look, you know, when I get really drunk, I can only use one eye because if I use both of them, everything spins around. Yeah. I did use my one eye to peer down this alley I was trying to sleep in Tijuana, and I did see a cop standing up on the street level because everything is downstairs in Tijuana. And I thought to myself, I got to keep my eye on this cop. And next thing you know, he was waking me up with his nightstick. Yeah, that's what happens. But here's the beauty of booze. You don't care. I didn't care. It's fine.
I smack you with it. But listen,
yeah.
Neil.
You just poked me.
So it's suspicious for the disease of alcoholism. So the next way of sort of assessing this is to look at whether or not you have a family history of alcoholism.
No, I don't.
All right. So it may just be heavy alcohol abuse. And it's certainly your body telling you that you're doing too much. Can you stop? Can you moderate?
Well, the thing is, like, I'll drink, and then, like, I won't feel anything, so I'll drink some more. And then, but
what do you get out of drinking so much? Sometimes when people tell me this, I immediately think, geez, they're just trying to manage social situations, and I worry that people are having social phobias and they're trying to treat it with the alcohol.
No, I just do it to have fun, social thing, you know.
But could you not function socially without it?
No, I can't. I mean,
all right. Well, then do.
Yeah.
Stop drinking so much.
That's like just what you were saying before, that alcoholics have social phobias, but it's like a constant cycle, right?
Hey,
so I'd reiterate that.
Website. Thanks for resetting the show, sir.
Sorry.
Who's I was Sarah Silverman, everybody. Greg the Bunny. I had a friend, Rudy, who, the guy wasn't an alcoholic, but he had this component that when he drank, he would black out and do all these crazy things.
Yeah, he was really nutty, though, right? He'd go and get, like, the strength of 40 men at that point.
Well, the bravado of 40 men, the strength of one weakling guy from the valley, thankfully. But he woke up strapped to a bed in County USC because he'd defecated on his coffee table in his dorm room and went nuts. And one time when we went to Tijuana with Rudy, we landed, and we used to go to Tijuana, and we'd stay with our friends who had dorm rooms in the San Diego State. And Rudy went nuts after we got back and was running up and down the halls, and he was banging on everyone's door, and he was yelling, "We have to go back to Tijuana, and I'm getting my car. We have brothers over there. We have to save them." It's really weird. You become, like, crazy delusional, and it's sort of like as if you're having a really crazy dream, except for you're sleepwalking. I mean, you're living it,
mm-hmm.
and nothing can snap you. You know, we gave him $1 million, like, bro, chill. And even that didn't
work.
I'm serious. I yelled, "I'm serious," like 140 times, and he just went nuts. And I don't think the guy had the alcoholic gene, though,
but
he had the freak out. He had the freak out gene.
The freak out thing is sort of a toxic reaction to alcohol, and some people get acute toxic depressions where they immediately go profoundly depressed and try to kill themselves, and others get these sort of accelerated, you know, acting out weird delusional kinds of syndromes.
It's not necessarily connected to alcoholism.
It's not necessarily, as I understand it, and I don't know much about these particular syndromes, but as I understand it, they're not necessarily connected to anything.
Yeah, but listen, if you have one of these blackout buddies, you cannot let this guy drink.
Right.
Because they just start going ballistic. And you don't know it because they're drinking and everything's going fine.
Mm.
We got loaded with this guy in Tijuana.
Okay, something clicks off, yeah.
We got loaded with this guy in Tijuana. And this guy drove us from the border back to San Diego.
Oh, boy.
We all decided he was in the best shape out of all of us to drive.
Have you ever blacked out?
No. I don't really drink.
You don't?
No, but I would love to. If I could, I would. But it makes me nauseous. I don't vomit. I don't do that. But I'm just...
Well, she doesn't vomit.
You don't drink?
Once in a while... I might have a sea breeze.
What do you do? What do you do?
I don't drink because I don't like the taste. I don't like the taste.
What do you do to get your buzz on?
I smoke weed.
Oh, you smoke weed? All right. Good times.
Does crack, too, man.
Oh, you smoke
and crack? That's a daily maintenance.
Why don't you get on some of these, like, hard lemonade drinks or something? I think you'd get a good buzz off of
really?
That. It wouldn't taste
like
that.
If I could, I would, because I think I would enjoy it.
All right, well, we'll get a six-pack. We'll go to the park after the show. We'll see if we can get you going on that.
Okay, thanks.
Drew, what do you drink? I'll get you, like, a thermos of vermouth. What's your drink?
Schnapps.
Schnapps? Your peppermint?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so gay.
We'll take,
that's the idea.
Bruce gay. We'll take a break, and Sarah Silverman is our...
Toby.
Sarah's our guest tonight. We'll be right back. Hey, yo. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Sarah Silverman is our guest tonight. She's a super foxy brunette from Greg the Bunny. Well, it's true.
I'm all right.
You got a nice combination of smart, goofy, and foxy all working in your corner.
Ow!
It's sweet. It works.
Thanks.
It really works. 9:30 on Fox on Wednesday nights. Even Anderson, I don't want to embarrass him, but he said a couple of breaks ago, I was like, "Yeah, Sarah's hot."
Yeah, you notice he's been sort of on the board.
Yeah.
He's been real involved.
He's definitely...
Next call.
Oh, no, Anderson's a part man. Why shouldn't he be attracted to Sarah? Let's talk to...
the other part.
Nozzle.
Douche nozzle.
Nah, I'm making that into a good thing. I think we should make it into a good thing. He's totally... Nozzle.
Sarah is a foxy woman that you can feel good about beating off to. Too, you know?
She may not feel good about it.
No, she would feel good about it.
No,
she's smart, she's funny, she doesn't have a huge cans. You know what I'm saying?
What are cans? The tushies? Boobs.
Yeah, I mean, they're nice. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is
Bouncy, bouncy.
She's a foxy girl you could bring home, and people wouldn't be going, come on. You know, with the gum chewing and the fake boobs and that.
I would be honored if you masturbated to me.
Oh, see, there you go.
Well,
it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. Sarah, I'm sorry.
No. Come on.
Stop. It just did. It just happened. I can do it with my feet now.
We could be brother and sister.
Yeah, we really could.
We have the same bushy, unwanted hair.
No.
No, no, you're, no, you're too attractive. You're too attractive for a Corolla. We don't have that kind of stuff. And we're not that smart either.
Oh,
this is Taboo 2, one of my favorite films of all time.
Porn film.
Well, why do you have to ruin it? Why do you have to classify it negatively by saying porn film?
She needs to know the context.
You do it with style. He does it with me. Oh, yes, he does. This is a brother and sister that got it on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this would be our connection if we're brother and sister. Well, maybe you did. Here's what I like. But you don't! I really lay it out like Liza Minnelli. He only reveals what he wants you to see and then shows it all. And when he does, he satisfies me.
A little more Ethel Merman than Liza Minnelli.
I'm not only singing this to Sarah, but all the sisters I'd like to have sex with. Just what he could do. You'd want him to if you only knew.
Would you ask her?
What year is this? Is it like an 80s porn? Is this
Let's
more
say, it's 80, 81.
Is that the beginning of video 80s? Or is it film?
Well, it's on video now because it's too much trouble for me to set up the 35mm. But it was shot on film.
That's
probably
what I'm asking.
Transferred to you know, it's funny. You ever see, Sarah, maybe you never did this, but Drew, growing up, you probably saw a stag film via a projector.
I can remember many attempts to see one.
It was like setting up. Right.
Really, it was like Don Quixote. And you're like going for the Grail. You're looking at whose brother has got a
projector. Here's the deal. Here's how it would always work. One guy's got the films, and in my case, it was Ray's older brother, my buddy Ray's
older brother.
Another guy has a projector. And there's a third guy who has a bulb for the projector, because the projectors have these, like, $65 bulbs that burn out all the time.
But then where are you going to show it?
Now we need a place to show it.
Yeah, and the parents can't be there?
No. We went to my grandparents' house, who were out of town, and showed it on their white dresser front. And the thing that's funny is the films would always bind up, and then you'd see the film beginning to burn, beginning to melt from the bulb. But when it's a porn film and there's like 11 teenagers in the room, people are diving over each other trying to protect the film. Yeah, in slow motion. It becomes like a scene from Die Hard, Ray diving in slow motion at the 16mm projector. And then I actually walked with the tape, so I actually beat off to it was a 8mm tape.
You were like taking a strip and looking at it through the light.
Yeah, in the bathroom.
The 8mm across, holding up to like your eye.
8mm was the width of the tape. 8mm is less than a third of an inch. It was.
You get the image here, Sarah. Him holding up tape.
It is a little bit. It's 5/16 of an inch wide. And that includes the perforation in the other part, too, I believe. The actual image on it could be fit onto a match head.
Can't you get a bigger image just in your brain?
No. You don't know, guys.
Yeah, man,
you don't
know, guys. You need to watch.
Now, I could close my eyes and see, like, unicorns humping or something, but I could not see real-life people humping.
Well, you could see it, but it wouldn't do the same thing.
It wouldn't work. So instead, I would hold that thing up, looking for the proper frame, by the way. Jesus Christ. I tell that kid that story to my kids when I'm discussing, you know, when I give them that, here's how poor I was. Erica?
Hello, everybody.
You're 28.
Yes, sir. And I've been afraid now, listening to all of this, that my problem isn't dramatic enough for radio.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out if I'm addicted to internet dating or not. The numbers are like this. I've been on about 30 dates in the last 6 weeks. And it's not that I sleep with all of them, but I get a rush on putting on the skirt and deciding which Thai food place to go to. But I'm enjoying it, but there's some element of obsessiveness going on, and I just...
Always Thai food?
Hey, Maybe you're obsessed with the Meatcrob appetizer more than you are the computer dating.
It's like there are two Thai restaurants in Pasadena.
Now, by the way, this is the beauty of this show. I was listening to a radio show where they were reviewing food, and Meryl Schimler this weekend on a competing station said the two best places in town were in Pasadena. So
Saladang.
Yeah, you may want to head over there on your 25th date of the month.
I'm a very attractive date, is the thing. Yeah. I get lots of dates, but
you sound like a he-she.
Oh, Nida.
Okay.
I know. So what is the problem?
Why don't any of these dates work out?
Why don't you develop into relationships?
That's just it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the deal is. I'm really into dating. I'm not into the...
Well, you are. Are they into you?
Yeah.
And you...
Do they want a second date?
Yes.
Do you allow that?
No, I usually say that I just don't, you know, I use that phrase like, oh, it's not clicking. But there's another element here, which is that I'm relatively into what people call kinky sex.
Yeah, you're S&M.
So, I'm ready to gamble.
Oh, yeah.
Can we gamble?
Yeah.
Hold on, Erica. We're going to gamble on your past, all right?
Okay.
So you have to be very forthcoming when we talk to you next, all right?
I got it. I'm all for it. I can predict what you're going to ask, and yes, the divorce...
No. Hold on. She's talking about divorce. No. Drew, I'm going to need a buck there, Brody. I gave all my money to some idiot who came by my house wanting money for some charitable cause. I can't remember what it was, but anyway. Who gave me another buck?
I did.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I get that Marilyn Monroe voice is really driving me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to gamble. We're going to gamble on her past. She's doing all this dating, yet she's not interested. She likes into the kinky sex, likes the thrill of the hunt, but not so interested in eating the prey once she's hunted it down. So, Drew's got an answer.
Yeah.
Sarah, here's how this works. We gamble on what kind of environment she grew up in.
Who had sex with her?
Right.
Not who had sex with her.
She was five.
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. Who had sex like her father. Okay. I would say...
Yeah, go ahead.
Go.
Yeah,
well, I'm deciding between a brother and a babysitter.
Ooh, good.
Oh, now, it's just...
Perhaps an outside...
True. don't talk her out of it, Adam. She's, like, going down a good path here.
He's allergic to pedophilia.
My impulse was brother, but I think it might be a babysitter because I think it might be someone who came into her life and went out of her life.
What made you think about
brother?
Interesting.
Brother, because the kinky sex and the feeling of, that it's wrong, and that's, I think, kind of a...
Familial.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'll go... So where are you going, brother or babysitter?
I don't know. Take another one?
Give her both.
I'll give you both. The guest?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right, next time we won't be so kind.
Okay, I understand.
Okay, Drew?
I get like lots of neglect, like daycare, and in those daycares or whatever kind of situations of unsupervised and weird sexual acting out of other kids on her. So child on child sexual abuse, and then lots of physical kinds of aggression in the home.
Okay, I'm working more toward daddy with the pleaser, the pleaser thing, and that real breathy voice and the man. I'm going to go with dad out of the house early and a slew of rotating guys coming through the house. Not necessarily sexual abuse.
Yeah, we didn't get nobody said addiction.
Dad was a boozer? Maybe mom's a boozer.
You can throw that into your version.
Where's my bourbon?
Yeah. I'm going to go with that. Who would please a guy? Where'd that guy-pleasing thing come in?
She's not into guy-pleasing. She's into guy using guys for arousal and then dumping and then trying to get into S&M relationships with them. And again, it's sort of anonymous act.
That's like a control issue, too, though.
All right. Okay, maybe... Dad, physically abusive.
Well, I just said that.
Oh, you did? Did you say it before I did? All right, dad gone early. A lot of idiot guys rolling through the house.
Some of the abuser very sorry.
Okay. Right. What line is here?
Two.
Two. All right. Erica?
Holy moly, everybody's wrong.
All right.
First of all, I am the prey.
You are the prey.
What happened when you were growing up?
Dad left, but I didn't get touched by anybody.
And how about the guys that your mom brought in after him? What were they like?
They were fine. One, there's just one, and he was relatively like my dad.
And no one ever did any kind of, your original biological father wasn't aggressive with your mom or you?
No, sir, none of that.
Do we at least have a brother?
No brother. No babysitter. I was.
Then how can you say he wouldn't have molested you? You don't even have one. You know what I'm saying?
It's an existential question.
Arrest my case.
It's a philosophical question. But
yes, if you in fact had a brother, Sarah's claim that he molested you would probably be true.
Yeah, I'll stand by that.
So, Eric, were you the oldest in a group of kids or something?
I'm the oldest of two.
You said you were the babysitter?
Yes.
So you were sort of parentalized and required to take care of kids and stuff?
Yes.
Maybe she molested herself.
At what age did that start?
Not early, 8 or 9.
Not early?
That's key kids, yes. But I'm very mature.
Well, and did anything ever weird happen with you and the kids?
No, it was just me and my sister watching the Smurfs.
Mm-hmm. When did you lose your virginity?
At 16.
Mm-hmm. And all your boyfriends have been good? No abuse there?
No abuse there. In fact, I try to get them to abuse me, and they don't. So, which
this
is
isn't working.
That sounds perfectly healthy. Yeah,
it's not adding up here.
Neglect fits. Neglect is fine. We get that part. And being parentalized is abusive. So these are abusive situations you were in. But the kind of arousal you're going after now, in our experience, usually suggests that pattern was there some point. Maybe, I mean, do you have early childhood memories?
I do, and they're all pleasant.
Nobody ever raised a hand or anything?
Well, listen.
Camp?
Well, no, I used to get spanked for lying.
You get spanked for lying.
Mm-hmm.
And were you really beaten or just kind of smacked a couple times?
Smacked a couple of times.
Mm.
But I stopped lying. You know, I wasn't after negative attention.
All right. Well, listen, I'm done trying to milk this rock.
Right.
Yeah. Erica, what do you do now for a living?
I'm in art school, but I also work at a sex toy factory.
I knew it.
You knew it?
I thought she was going to say she was a phone sex operator.
Uh-huh.
What do you do at the sex toy factory?
Well, I few things.
R&D?
I kind of manufacture leather bondage items.
What, you
it's in town here.
You sew them?
I put rivets in, I punch the holes, I kind of design them. Like, you know, you've seen nothing until you've seen a table full of...
Oh, listen, I've been to one of the... Hold on. I've been to one of the sex factories, and it's just a bunch of 300-pound Guatemalan women working on sewing fake pubes into fake balls. What are you talking about?
That's not where I work. Where I work, we're all very hot. We're all into the scene.
Hold
She's
on a second.
It's not
adding up. Yeah. I'm really hot. I work at this sex factory with a bunch of other hot chicks. We're all into the scene. I make a living putting studs on the cod pieces. What the F?
I think she's going
about?
After one. Like she's. This is one of her computer dates all over again.
What is what she's doing with us?
Yeah.
She's getting a thrill out of this.
You know, she thinks.
Erica, what do you mean? Where do you work? What's the name of this place?
It's called the Stock Room. It's in Silver Lake.
And you and a bunch of hot chicks just work on restraint devices for bondage idiots.
We're not all hot chicks. We're very serious about quality. The problem is...
Is quality blowjob one?
Oh, we're not. The problem is that I can't find the problem, yet it seems like there should be a problem.
All right, baby.
I'm reading a background book, too, called Female Perversions by a woman named Kaplan. Go read that book, Female Perversions by Kaplan, and you'll see where some of this stuff comes from. And then you see if you want to do something about it.
She's as jacked up as somebody who's... claims nothing has ever happened to her.
As we've ever had.
As we've ever spoken to on this show.
Yeah.
All right. I'd be curious if... I'm not sure that everything she's telling us is the truth. But, look, if you're doing something that you don't want to do, then stop doing it.
And if you can't stop doing it, that's the time you need help. That's
an
addiction or compulsion.
Right, right. Sarah Silverman is right. All right, we will take a quick break. I'll give everyone their dollar back, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Sarah Silverman is our guest tonight. She's the super, 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 super hot chick from Greg the Bunny. 9:30 on Wednesday nights on Fox. And let's see if we can power through some calls. Jason?
Hello?
Yes, you're 21. What's up?
What's up, Adam?
What's happening?
Man, I cannot get Hash Pipe out of my head now ever since you said that's your song.
Hash Pipe?
Yeah. Weezer?
That is your song. Yeah.
How's it go?
I don't know. Go ahead, Jason.
I got a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah?
I got a buddy who's hooked on methadone.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what this is, what it does, what it's for.
It's a long-acting opiate. It is an attempt to... You got to turn your radio
on. I'm going to put him on hold, and you just talk.
All right. Methadone is an opiate replacement therapy for heroin addiction, basically. It also is a medication some people use for chronic pain syndromes. It is profoundly addictive. It is extraordinarily difficult to get off. I'm not a huge fan of it, but it is certainly should be an option for people that have recalcitrant addictive disease.
I was a fan of methadone's earlier work through the 80s and the earlier part of the 90s. But
when that was Bad Religion on the road?
Yeah. And the last two CDs have been
pretty weak.
But they sold out.
The problem with methadone is probably the hardest drug there is to get off of. The withdrawal can take weeks, if not months. Incredibly painful, incredibly uncomfortable. So once someone graduates to methadone, it is a pretty serious issue. If, on the other hand, someone is dying on heroin addiction and can't seem to get into recovery or keeps relapsing for whatever reason, it's nice that there's an option because methadone can save lives, or at least prolong lives.
Amanda?
Hello?
You're 16.
Hello?
There's always some F-up with the phone. How retarded... What's up with our listeners? How retarded do you have to be to just hold the goddamn phone to your ear and wait for us to get to you?
She's been waiting for 90 minutes and she was asleep.
Really?
Probably just startled.
Okay. All right. But there's always... Is there always some confusion around? Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
Well, all right. But look, I feel bad now. Amanda?
Hello?
You've been on hold for 90 minutes?
You're kidding. I didn't know I was on hold that long.
You were so entertaining, Adam, that she didn't realize that much time had passed.
Okay. Is your radio down in the background?
Yes.
All right, baby. So you're not sure if things are going anywhere with your boyfriend.
Yeah.
And you want to know whether to move on or not.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I mean, it was there, and he just started coming to my school. So now he's around me all the time. But I'm looking at this other guy at school who I think is looking at me, too.
Wait a minute. How long? You've dated this guy?
Yeah. We've been together for about 2 years.
2 years. And he was at a different school, and he came to this school because of you?
No, he moved, and my school became his home school.
And so now that he's there all the time, you're not so into him?
It's not that I'm not so into him, but he hasn't found his own group of friends, so now he's always around me.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of clinging to you, and that bothers you?
Yeah.
And it becomes less attractive. This is what women do, guys. This is it.
Yeah. As soon as you can't be clingy.
Or as soon as you need them.
Ugh.
No,
yeah.
it's not that. But...
Hold on. Amanda, are you black?
Yes.
All right. Do you think she knows what feh means? Jewish terminology? How dare you use that on a young black woman, Drew? Use something black, would you? That becomes, what is it? Who's in the background there, Amanda?
No, that was my mom.
She okay.
She knows my boyfriend.
Fair is Jew for bad, Amanda.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So here's the deal. If you don't want to be with this guy, then break up with him.
No.
But you do want to be with him.
You want to be with the new guy, right?
Yeah, but, you know, if this doesn't, I don't want to take a chance on... It could work out with my boyfriend, then I make a mistake of going with this new guy.
Well, in the realm of love, you cannot cover every base every time.
And in the big picture, Maddie, you've been dating this guy since you were 14. How old is he now?
He's 16.
And these relationships usually don't last more than 2 or 3 years. I mean, that's a very long time for a relationship at your age. And it is important, actually, to, you know, date other people and figure out who you are and what you want. By the time you're going away to college after high school, you think?
Yeah.
All right. You go away to college and form a new group of friends. You don't want to be encumbered by a relationship that you've been with since you were 14.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I would like to also try new people.
Of course.
That's a good impulse. It's a healthy impulse.
There needs to be turnover in your relationship.
It feels
at that
bad.
Age.
It feels bad because you know it's going to hurt him, and he doesn't yet have friends. And it was not a bad idea for him to wait for him to generate a group of friends so he has some support when you. Drop the axe on him.
Right.
But on the other hand, he never...
Break up with him.
Yeah.
Anyone who's been dating anyone from 14 to 16 needs to break up. Otherwise, it's going to be one of those retarded high school things where you two have been together for like 6 years. Meanwhile, you're 18. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's always weird. You need to turn over. It gets harder and harder the longer it goes on. True with the feh.
Yeah.
Bitch!
I thought that was a universal term.
Feh?
Feh.
No. No. That's Yiddish. All right, let's talk to Drew. Can't pick a someone to call?
Five.
All right, hold on. Karen?
Yeah?
You're 28?
Yep.
Your boyfriend says he doesn't want to get you pregnant?
Yeah, he's I'm not sure what his, I guess I'm 28 and he's 30, and he just seems to be really disinterested in sex. He's interested in foreplay. He's interested in oral sex. He's interested in other things, but
he's interested in receiving oral sex.
Yeah, he is, and he's willing to be. He's willing to return the favor.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering. I guess.
All right, hey,
Karen, turn your radio
idiot,
down.
Idiot, will you turn your goddamn radio down? Jesus Christ. All right, but listen.
Practically off. We heard blip.
Fool, you idiot.
Is it every second or every third call that has the radio up tonight?
Every second.
Is it up 350%?
It's louder than our voices.
What is going on? Is it leave your goddamn radio on night?
Every second.
Jesus Christ. I blame everyone but me, as usual.
What is going All right, on? We got to go to break.
All right. Karen?
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't like intercourse. Maybe that's too intimate for him, or maybe he's scared of the cootie factor like me. Or does he not want to get you pregnant?
I mean, you know, that's what he said, but he's...
No, it's not that. No way. At 30?
You're on the pill?
Yeah, I'm on the pill, and
well,
I'm...
it's an intimacy issue,
yes.
Or he just doesn't physically prefer it.
He just likes oral sex. Some
yeah.
guys are that way.
Hey! Hey!
Yeah?
I'm the president of that club. Right, Sarah?
Yeah. Of what? Yeah?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
We'll Sorry, I was somewhere else.
All right. Well, that's the show. I want to thank the talented and beautiful Sarah Silverman for coming in here tonight.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Dr. Drew.
She can be found on Greg the Bunny on 9:30 Wednesday nights on Fox and on stages everywhere doing her hilarious stand-up routine. So...
Oh. Yeah.
I think it's funny.
No, it is. Thank you.
I've never really seen it, but I saw the roast, and you were very funny in the roast. And I know that if you're going to be funny in the roast, you got to be funny doing stand-up. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Yeah.